Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
When we have the key to worship, we have everything. There is nothing that you can't experience when you have the key to worship. And of course, our theme scripture is from Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. However, this week, having heard last week, the things we can have and accomplish and get from God when we worship, when we use the key. But some of us, even as we come in church Sunday after Sunday, we listen to gospel music in our cars. We worship that we say we worship in our cars, on our knees at our bedside. But we're not enjoying the benefits of worship. So this morning, I'm going to take us down a slightly different track. And that track is the hindrances to worship. Hindrances to worshiping in spirit and in truth. And this morning I want to take the scripture from John chapter 4, verse 23. And we've heard, they were singing earlier, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So when I heard that song, I was like, Lord, thank you for that confirmation. Because sometimes we feel that we can do it on our own. Sometimes we feel like, oh, just because we are singing a gospel song, that's worship. But sometimes what happens is that we have hindrances that prevent us from benefiting from the worship. So I read for you John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. But the time is coming, indeed is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. 24. For God is a spirit. So those who worship must worship. It didn't say might worship, but must worship in spirit and in truth. It is a fact. I want to say to us, you can be here, like I said a few minutes ago, singing, clapping, and what a wonderful worship we had, led by Brittany being in the spirit. But when we come in the house of God, I just don't want to be a part of worship or listening to the leaders in worship. I want to make sure that whatever there is in my heart that might prevent me from worshiping is taken care of even before I get to the house of God. When Jesus was speaking to the woman at Jacob's well in this chapter, he was speaking on worship and the importance of the sincerity of worship. I say that again. He wasn't just speaking to them about worship, but he was speaking to them about the sincerity of worship. Again, I say last week was such a blessing. When I think about all the benefits that come when we use the key to access worship, but we are still not experiencing the healing, the provision, the miracles. And the Bible tells me that in the last days, we will see signs and wonders. We should see healing. We should see people being delivered. So ask ourselves the question, as a children of God, why aren't we seeing these things? The principle behind it all is true worship doesn't depend on a physical location or person, but our spiritual position with God. Ouch. True worship doesn't depend on the fact that I am in church or I'm on my knees, but true worship depends on my spiritual position with God, my standing with God. So having said that, I want to deal with four things that prevent us from worshiping in spirit and in truth. And there might be more that you might have to deal with that I don't refer to today. And I pray by the Spirit of God that even if one of these four might be on your list, the Holy Spirit might bring it to you or something else, that we will deal with it so we can worship in spirit and in truth. But the four that I like to focus on today is an unrepented and deceitful heart, lack of prayer, limited biblical knowledge, and last but surely not least, a toxic attitude. A toxic attitude. There may be others, like I said, that you're dealing with, but ask God to show them to you today. But let me lead off this morning with the unrepented and deceitful heart. Acts chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And we know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They plan to sell their property and give it to God. You see, church, Hope United family and friends, we cannot make a promise to God and a commitment to God and break it. And even when we break it, we need to realize that we can come in front of Pastor Josh, Pastor Karen, our brothers and sisters, and we tell them that, oh, this is what I'm doing, when we already made a promise to God. But remember that the all-seeing eyes go to and fro the earth. Let me read the chapter. The property was yours to sell or not to sell, as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. The importance of the Holy Spirit, we've been talking and singing this morning about the Spirit of God. The importance of the Holy Spirit was evident within this passage. Peter states in verse 3 that Ananias had lied to the Holy Spirit, and in verse 4, he had lied to God. Let me say to us, church, it doesn't matter what we are going through, let us be honest with God. Let us be honest with God. Ananias' downfall was not keeping back a part of the money. Let me say that. Ananias' downfall was not keeping back a part of the money of what he sold, but his lying and hypocrisy about it. The fact that he lied in the presence of God. And lying in the presence of God is not just merely lying in church, but lying on our jobs, lying to our families, lying to our friends, because God sees and knows all things. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 25. And I'm going to take my time and read this. It is so self-explanatory that I think we need to hear this. The importance of the Holy Spirit, the importance of being true in the heart, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. A man named, Acts chapter 8, 9 through 25, a man named Simon had been a sorcerer there for many years, amazing the people of Samaria and claiming to be someone, the great one, the power of God. They listened closely to him because for a long time he had astonished them with his magic. But now the people believed Philip's message of good news. Now the people believed the Philip's message of good news. And they started to follow Philip wherever he go. Then Simon himself believed and was baptized. He began following Philip wherever he went, and he was amazed by the signs and great miracles Philip performed. Verse 14, When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. 15. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. They prayed for these believers to receive the Holy Spirit. So they had believed, they had accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But I want to say to us, church, when the Holy Spirit has come upon us, there is something different. There is something dynamic that will begin to happen in our lives. They received. Then Peter and John laid hands on them, upon them, and on these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. 18. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given to the apostles, as the apostles laid hands on the people, he offered them money to buy this power. Hope, money will not be able to buy this power. We're talking about unrepentant and deceitful hearts. It doesn't matter how much money we have or don't have. I want to declare even now that the Holy Spirit is available to everyone that believes. Simon said, "Let me have this power too," he exclaimed, "so that when I lay hands on the people, they will receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter replied, "May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought." The price has already been paid. When Jesus died on the cross, your sins and my sins were already taken care of if we repent and turn. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive, your evil thoughts. 23. For I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin. Pray to the Lord for me, Simon exclaimed, that these terrible things you said won't come upon me. Church of God, Hope United, understand, just like Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can I be saved?" Nicodemus' money couldn't save him. The rich man's money couldn't save him. We have to repent and turn. We have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's the only way to salvation. It's the only way to worship God in spirit and in truth. Don't allow the unforgiveness, like Ananias and Sapphira. He dropped and died. Simon thought that his money could have bought the Holy Spirit. But no, it takes a repentive heart. And today I encourage us by the mercies of God, do not allow sins of the past to stop you from worshiping God. Do not allow sins of the past to stop you from worshiping God. In these two passages, we see the damage caused by unrepented and dishonest hearts, highlighting the necessity of personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, made into reality by the transforming presence of the Holy Spirit. Here goes that word again. It's made possible by the transforming spirit of the Holy, the transforming presence, of the Holy Spirit. So I say to us today, let us examine our hearts. We're praising, we're coming to church, and we're expecting some things to happen in our lives, and we're not seeing it happening, even as we sing, even as we pray. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us, God, what is it in my heart I have not yet repented of? And repent and turn. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins and heal their land. The principle behind this is simple. We have to be honest with God. He always knows the truth. It is so simple. Understand that God knows the very intent of our hearts. So I encourage us this morning, today, to be honest with God. Hindrance number two. And yesterday we had prayer. And I was actually hoping to see more of us coming in the house of God to pray corporately. But some of us never made it. But hindrance number two is lack of prayer. Lack of prayer. Matthew 21, 22 says, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive. Prayer is having regular conversation with God. You can't say you honor God. You can't say you're worshiping God when you are not even in communication with God. Bishop, how are we going to say we are worshiping when we barely talk to him? I can't say I love and I care for my wife and I don't have communication with her. I had a bad fault. I had to learn to even talk to her more, because if she matters that much to me, I will spend time talking with her. If God matters to you, if you truly want to worship God, then you're going to make time for God in prayer. And here is a little nugget the Holy Spirit just placed in my spirit. Communication goes both ways. So if you take the time to talk to God, you will hear from God. You might say, Pastor Pete, Matthew 21, 22 had to do with Jesus running the people out of the temple. What does that have to do with prayer? Well, guess what? When Jesus made his way into the temple at Jerusalem, he was so disturbed at the marketing chaos and the lack of respect for prayer. He turned over tables and drove out money changers. Now we might say this is a location, but no, let's cross references. Our bodies are what? The temple of the living God. And we love to say where Jesus is, it's heaven there. So if our bodies are the temple of the living God, it doesn't matter where we are. It's not about a position or a location. We must make sure that we are instant and constant in prayer with God. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that ye may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. We're wondering why when we are worshiping, we are not getting results. Because we are not intentional enough, we are not earnest enough to take that time to pray. I realize that the more time I spend with God, the better results I have, whether it with my health, whether it was with the business, whatever you do, the more time you spend with God, the more results you will see. First John 5:14 says, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive according to his will. He hears us. Principle, no communication with God, no true worship. If you're not in communication with your Creator, with your Lord, how we expect to worship? Lifting our hands and just merely singing a song is not worship. But our hindrance to worship is when we don't repent and turn and we're living a deceitful life or we're not spending enough time with God. Which takes me to Hindrance number three. How can we pray the will of God and worship Him in spirit and in truth without truly knowing God? So I say to us, hindrance number three, limited biblical knowledge. We want to say we know God. If I, in my field of engineering, if I don't spend time, Bishop, to be updated with the new codes and the new ways of doing things, then guess what? I'd be lost. I remember a few years ago, though, thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing this back to me. I would spend, I'd say, half an hour, 30 minutes doing a design of, say, a bridge. And a young man graduated college, a young Haitian kid graduated college. And he said to me, Pete, what are you doing? Why are you taking so long? Pastor Bishop, he took 2 minutes to show me a new formula that took me 5 minutes to do what I was doing in 30 minutes. If we don't spend time in the Word of God and get to know God through His Word, you can't truly worship God. Because you worship what you know not. Hosea 4 verse 6. My people are being destroyed because they don't know me. My people are being destroyed because they don't know me. Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. You see, when you know God and the enemy comes in like a flood and you know what the Word of God says, you can say, God is my refuge and my strength. God is a very present help in time of trouble. Even though the mountains roar and the seas may come in like the swelling thereof, you will know that there is a God that stands behind you, that holds you up with the right hand of His righteousness. You will know that the Bible says no good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. But if you don't know the Word, then when the enemy comes in, you walk around with a sour face, crying, complaining, and you can't worship because you don't know God. Lack of knowledge of God. You can't and won't honor who you don't know. You can't honor and trust who you don't know. You see, I have built a relationship with the man of God that when he tells me something, I can stand on it. Why? Because I know him and I trust him. And that didn't just take a day or two, but this relationship has been built over years. It's the same thing with the Word of God. If you don't take time to know the Word, then what are we even praying? What are we even praying if we don't know the Word? Because when we pray back to Him His Word, then He honors His Word above His very name, and He will answer. The Apostle Paul, to the Colossian saints in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you a complete knowledge of His will and give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10. Then the way you live, when we have a full understanding, then the way we live, I put it we this time, will always honor and please the Lord. Your life will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We want to see good fruits coming from our lives. Spend time knowing the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God. Don't just, anything you want to excel at, you've got to put something in it. Put some time in the Word of God. principle, a deep understanding of God's word elevates our worship. A deep understanding of God's word, knowing what God says and who he is through his word, elevates our worship. We won't need somebody to pump us up in worship. Even when you're feeling sick and you can't reach Pastor Josh on the phone, you will know that you can touch wherever is hurting and declare that by your stripes, God, I am healed. You will be in need of something and you'll say, Lord, you promised to supply all my needs according to your riches in glory. That is a new knowledge. Having elevated the knowledge of God elevates your worship. And here it is. When we have a knowledge of God, when we first have repented and turned, when we have gotten into prayer and we have the knowledge of God, so we pray the will of God, then this hindrance won't be able to stop us any longer from worship. And that hindrance is a toxic attitude. Let's not fool ourselves. If our attitudes are toxic or bad, how can we truly worship? How can we truly worship? Again, Paul this time to the church in Philippi. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And now, we've heard about the repentance. We've heard about the prayer. We've heard that we need to have more knowledge of God through his word. Then Paul said, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Verse 9. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace. Then the God of peace. Hallelujah. Shibabaseko. Then the God of peace, when we put all this into practice, then the God of peace will be with you. Forgive more. Move on from the past. Don't allow the past to control your attitude so you can't worship. Forget the past. Forget the past. Brittany sang earlier, I can hear the sound of abundance of rain. My God, the clouds are filled. God wants to pour out into us a new thing. Forget the past. Forget the past. Ephesians 4:32. Instead, be kind to each other. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, just as Christ, God, through Christ Jesus, has forgiven us. David puts it best. Create, in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a loyal, a right spirit within me, and I put it this way, so that I may worship you in spirit and in truth. Great attitude leads to exceptional worship. Today, for Christ's sake, and most importantly for our own sakes, let's identify the things that are hindering our worship. Let's repent and turn. Let's get more in prayer. Let's get to know God more through His Word. And let's get rid of the toxic attitude so that we can truly worship God in spirit and in truth. The most important thing I heard when Pastor Rob was here is that the flesh will never get saved, but the heart can be surrendered to God. And as the heart is surrendered to God, as we repent and turn, as we get to know God more, as we spend more time in prayer, then our worship will be elevated to a place that when we say, "Thus saith the Lord," things will begin to happen. When we lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. When you look at your situation, you won't tremble. Fear won't have a hold of you, because God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. When we lay aside all this weight that so easily beset us and run this race with patience, then we'll be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loves us. And our worship will be like a sweet smell going up to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.